Regular followers of the doings of Arthur Dent may have received an impression of his character and habits, which, while it includes the truth and, of course, nothing but the truth, fall short of the whole truth in all its glorious aspects. What people ask about all that stuff off in the wings between Arthur and Trillian? Did that ever get anywhere? This Arthur Dent, is he interested in nothing more than tea and hot baths? Has he no passion? Does he not, to put it in a nutshell, feel the need to copulate? Those who wish to know should listen on. Others with time travel projectors or functioning remote controls may wish to skip on to the next episode in this phase, which is a good bit and has Marvin in it.
I'll have to remember that you're the sort of person who can't hold on to a simple piece of paper for 2 minutes without winning a raffle with it.
If I believed in them, and I didn't have a past that featured events beyond the imagination of any ordinary mortal, I'd say finding you again was a bit of a miracle.
Hold my hand.
For Arthur, who can usually contrive to feel self-conscious if left alone long enough with a Swiss cheese plant, this moment is one of revelation. He feels like a cramped and zoo-born animal who awakes one morning to find the door to his cage hanging quietly open.
Did you know that there's something wrong with me?
Well, your brother mentioned some vague sort of...
Oh, Russell makes stuff up, because he can't deal with what it really is.
What is it?
Don't worry, it's nothing bad at all. Just unusual. Very unusual. See if you can work it out.
All right. Your elbow. Your left elbow. There's something wrong with your left elbow.
Wrong. Completely wrong. You're on completely the wrong track.
This is not going to be easy. Hyde Park is stunning. You are stunning. Anyone who can go through Hyde Park with you on a summer's evening and not feel moved by it is probably going through in an ambulance with a sheet pulled over their face.
I think that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. Arthur, what are you doing?
I don't think it can be your bottom. Nothing I can see.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with my bottom.
Tell me a story. Tell me your story.
I'll try. But maybe you should know that I suffer from sudden, startling revelations.
Are you about to have a fit or something?
No. I can tell when it's going to happen. For days before, the strangest feeling builds in me. As if I was being connected into something.
Does the number 42 mean anything to you at all?
Arthur, this is serious.
I'm being serious. Tell me your story.
I was in a cafe in Rickmansworth, having a cup of tea. This was after days of this build-up, becoming connected up. I was sort of buzzing, gently. And suddenly, there it was in my mind. This message from somewhere. And it was so simple. It made such sense of everything. I just sat up and thought, oh, well, that's all right then. I was so startled, I almost dropped my teacup. In fact, I think I did drop it. Yeah, I'm sure I did. That was the point at which it seemed to me, quite literally, as if the world exploded.
What?
I know everybody talks about big yellow spaceships and how the whole thing was a hallucination. But people think if you just say hallucinations, it explains anything you want. But it's just a word. It doesn't explain anything. It doesn't explain why the dolphins disappeared.
No. What?
Doesn't explain why the dolphins disappeared.
Which dolphins do you mean?
Arthur, where have you been, for heaven's sake? The dolphins all disappeared on the same day.
Where did they go?
No one knows. Well, there is one man who says he knows. But he lives in California, so people say he's balmy. I was thinking of going to see him. It's the only lead I've got on what happened to me.
Better to go in search of the truth and pretend it isn't there.
Arthur, I think something terrible happened to you as well. That's why we recognised each other.
Mine's a very long story, and confusing even for me.
Well, now you've got someone you can tell. Well, the bits I hadn't already found out on this.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Why does it say don't panic on the cover?
I think it's a get-out clause for the warranty.
Have you been to many of these places?
A few.
Can we go to them?
Do you want to?
Yes, I want to know what the message was I lost and where it came from. I don't think it came from here. I'm not even sure that I know where here is. But I need to find it, Arthur. Not knowing is damaging me. Anyway, there is something wrong with part of me. and you've got to find out what it is. You can try and guess on the way home.
Hmm.
Come on.
All persons here to do business in the Galactic Hyperspace Planet Council, take your seats. The rest of you find something to occupy yourselves before I come and find it for you. Quiet! Who coughed? Hold up. Clark, shoot anyone who coughs.
Yes, your vastness.
Right. Prostitnik Fogon Jolts. You are responsible for clearing the interstellar hyperspace link between Demosthenes and Ursa Minor. Your orders were to demolish all planets on that route in accordance with the plans we lodged at Alpha Centauri. Your report clearly stated that the planet known as the Earth was destroyed by your demolition fleet. Now, a survey of the area has revealed Earth is still there.
It is a tissue of lies. I deny it utterly. And I'd volunteer for mucking out duty in the beast compounds on Tral rather than live a day longer with this vicious smear on my character.
I have here holographic plates of the planet in question. Received last week. Vidscreen on.
Bugger. You're right. I'm guilty as charged.
Really?
Well, I can't argue with the evidence. There it is, in black and white, and blue, and brown, and wispy, white, cloudy bits. Well, that's the Earth, all right.
Haven't had a good bit of torture in weeks.
There, Your Honour, there. He's been saving up some really excruciating bones for this. Don't spoil it by reading.
Shut up! What does the defendant have to say for himself?
Well, I don't like leaving a job unfinished any more than the next Vogon. All right, the Vogon beside him.
From this evidence, it doesn't look as if the job was ever started.
I swear we destroyed that planet. I know we did. We even had a couple of hitchhikers steal aboard trying to escape. Of course, we threw them out of the airlock.
Dent, Arthur, Prefect Ford?
Well, probably. Oh, humans all look alike to me. Freeloading parasites.
According to the log, you picked up ex-President Beeblebrox, too.
No. He rescued them.
Oh, yes. Then we had him lured into the total perspective vortex. Probably still there. And no bad thing. Now, about this Earth. Seems it exists in a plural sector. Very unstable dimensionally. Very hard to destroy planets like that. They exist on several levels, popping back into reality.
I have the precedent here, Your Honour. Vogon Imperium versus Megabrantis Liposuction Inc. Ruling, nature abhors a vacuum.
Yeah, whatever, girlfriend. I'll just keep destroying the Earth till nature settles for a bloody vacuum.
Thank you. The problem has, however, compounded itself somewhat. Now that improbability travel has become so popular, hyperspace bypasses have become somewhat, well, passé.
I see. And what does that mean?
We don't actually need to demolish Earth.
Oh!
However, an order cannot be countermanded once it has been seen to be issued.
So I can destroy it!
Orders are orders, Prostechnik Fogon Jolts.
Yes!
What I have in mind is... Oh, excuse me.
Orders are orders.
It's two blurters.
What you have in mind is to use first syllable sounds like bleeding, coughing, dying.
Yoni. There is something terribly and tragically wrong with your left knee. Right knee.
Both knees are absolutely fine.
Forgetting your calves, which I can't, by the most sensuous process of elimination, it has to be your feet.
You're getting warmer.
Good grief, I see what's wrong with your feet. They don't touch the ground.
So what do you think?
Well, I'm guessing you're an inch taller than you were before the dolphins disappeared.
I suppose so.
Which probably means I wonder...
Is this the old hayloft door?
Yes. Careful, Arthur! We're two floors up.
Mind if I pop outside for a minute?
Arthur! How are you doing that? What are you standing on?
Nothing. Come on out. The air's lovely.
You think I can?
I'm sure of it. No, don't bring anything. Think about tulips or lost items of hand luggage.
Your seat is in the upright position and your seatbelt firmly fastened. Thank you. Oh, not again.
Do you want me to go?
Oh, it's okay. I'll deal with her. Excuse me. Yes, Mrs. Kapinski?
Jefferson.
You pressed your call button.
Did I?
Something wrong? Is it the headphones again?
No.
The child in front making milk come out of his nose again?
No.
Mrs. Capelson, is it something outside the plane you're staring?
Yes, well, I've seen a lot of life.
I'm sorry?
I've been puzzled by some, but I do feel I was bored with a lot of it. It's all been very pleasant, but perhaps a little too routine.
Right.
I thought I just saw... But then I didn't. Well, I did. Two of them, but it's nothing to worry about.
So you don't need help?
Oh, no. I just needed to tell someone. Thank you.
No problem.
I didn't know you could do it on the wing of a plane, though.
Music and two sets of earphones.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was conceived as a reference work dedicated to the pursuit of cheap travel, cheap food, and the cheapest possible intoxicants. As a result, it can fail entirely to include certain very necessary entries, such as how to report a pair of flying people using the aerofoil of a commercial jetliner to consummate their affections. Or which methods to conquer insomnia work best in the noisy confines of huge spacecraft. This latter omission is no longer of significance to Ford Prefect, who snores cocooned in towels and well-thumbed copies of Playbeing, deaf to the traffic of flying ratchet screwdrivers in a maintenance hatchway aboard the Zaxxisian robot ship, dreaming fitfully of old haunts, like the east side of New York, where the river has become so extravagantly polluted that new life forms are now emerging from it spontaneously, demanding welfare and voting rights.
Hello. Excuse me, I'm sorry to bother you, but I need some help.
Sure, what can I do for you?
Well, I just oozed up out of the river. I'm pretty much new to the surface. Is there any useful information you can give me?
Phew, well, I can tell you where some bars are, I guess.
What about love and happiness? I sense deep needs in myself for things like that. Tell me the truth. Am I or am I not, in your opinion, beautiful?
Well, to me, not. But listen, most people make out, you know? Are there any more like you in the river?
How should I know? It's a filthy, disgusting place. Dirty water, you can't see a tentacle in front of your face.
No, fair enough. Stupid question.
Listen, I'm new here. Life is entirely strange to me. What's it like?
Life is like a grapefruit.
Life is like a grapefruit. Could you please describe to me in concrete terms how life is like a grapefruit? Use your hands if it helps.
Well, it's sort of orangey-yellow and dimpled on the outside, wet and squidgy in the middle. It's got pips inside, too. Oh, and some people have half of one for breakfast.
This is advice I could use. Is there anyone else in this dream that I could talk to?
I don't know. Look, ask a policeman. Ask anybody but me. I'm going to roll over and dream about girls, air cars, single malt. Oh, yes. Oh, lovely.
That's great. Go back to sleep. See if I can. You think I'm going to wake this whole thing out by myself? I gotta put on my slippers and go to the bathroom anyway.
Oh, elevensies. What a treat.
My pleasure.
This is all very wonderful.
The sandwich?
Everything. But I do still feel... I need to know what's happened to me. You see, there's this difference between us. That you lost something and found it again. And I found something and lost it. I need to find it again.
Yes, I know. And I've had an idea. Pass the phone. Murray Bost Henson is a journalist on one of those papers with small pages and big print.
It doesn't sound like he's much of a journalist.
He isn't, but he's the only one I knew. Or rather...
I'm late for my cello lesson. Back soon. Good luck.
Thanks.
Yep.
Murray.
Arthur Dent?
Yes.
Arthur, my old soup spoon, my old silver tureen, how particularly stunning to hear from you. Someone told me you'd gone off into space or something.
What?
Oh, just a rumour, my old elephant tusk, my little green beige card table.
Got it from someone who picked up a hitchhiker in Somerset. Probably means nothing at all, but I may need a quote from you.
Oh, well then, I deny it.
Oh, that's perfect, thank you. Fits like a what's-it in one of those other things with the other stories of the week, that denial.
We're calling this the Week of the Weirdos. Got a ring to it, don't you think? You see, we have this man it always rains on.
What?
This is the absolute stocking top truth, all documented in his little black book. It all checks out. The Met Office is going ice-cold, thick banana whips. This man is the bee's knees, Arthur. He is the wasp's nipples. He is, I would go so far as to say, the entire set of erogenous zones of every major flying insect in the Western world. We're calling him the Rain God. Nice, don't you think?
I think I've met him.
Incredible. You met the Rain God?
If it's the same man... I told him to stop complaining and show someone his book.
Well, you did a bundle, Arthur.
You know how much tour operators are paying him not to go abroad this year. Listen, we may want to do a feature on you, Arthur. The man who made the rain god rain. Got a ring to it. Photograph you under a garden shower, but that'll be okay. Where do I send the snapper?
I'm in Islington.
Listen, Murray.
Islington? Home of the real weirdness of the week. The real, seriously loopy stuff. Do you know anything about these flying people?
No.
Arthur, where have you been? Oh, space. Right. Yes, I got your denial, didn't I? But this couple, they just fly around the sky and start doing all kinds of stuff. And I don't mean looking through walls or pretending to be box girder bridges. You don't know anything?
No.
Arthur, I have to go. I'll send the guy around with the camera and the hose.
Oh, listen, Murray. I called to ask you something.
I want to find out something about the dolphins.
Oh, no story. Last year's news.
I just want to find out how I can get in touch with that man in California who claims to know something about it. I thought you might know.
Him? Oh, my old herringbone tweed. Why didn't you say so?
This is an important announcement. This is flight 121 to Los Angeles. If your travel plans today do not include Los Angeles, now would be the perfect time to disembark. Thank you.
When you said meet me at the airport, I didn't think you'd be bringing our passports and a pair of plane tickets.
Sorry about that. I remembered your toothbrush, though.
Look at you. Drenched with sweat.
Not with sweat. A photographer came round. I tried to argue, but... well, never mind. I spoke to California...
You spoke to him?
I spoke to his wife, Mrs. Watson, and asked to speak to him. She said he was too weird to come to the phone right now, and could I call back? So I did. And she said he was 3.2 light-years from the phone, and I should call again.
Ah.
Seatbelt done up, miss?
Yes, thanks.
I called again. She said the situation had improved. He was now a mere 2.6 light-years from the phone, but it was still a long way to shout.
You didn't realise it was that bad.
I phoned again. Her name, by the way, and you may wish to know this, is Arcane Jill.
I see.
She explained that the phone is in a room that he never comes into. It's in the asylum. He does not like to enter the asylum. She felt it might save me phoning. He will only meet people outside the asylum. I asked her where the asylum is, and she asked if I'd ever read the instructions on a packet of toothpicks.
And did you?
I didn't have a packet to hand. I actually got the address from a guy on a science magazine.
I'm not sure I understand.
Neither do many people. I have been told that Mr. Watson claims to have regular meetings with angels who wear golden beards and green wings and orthopedic sandals.
But you think it's worth it?
Well, the one thing that everyone agrees on, apart from the fact that he is barking mad, is that he does know more than any man living about dolphins.
And what's his name again?
Wonko the Sane.
I know he will be able to help us. I know he will.
Excuse me, my dears. I get so bored on these long flights. It's nice to talk to somebody. My name's Enid Campbellson. I'm from Boston. Tell me, do you fly a lot?
Hello.
Hello.
I am John Watson, but you can call me Wonko the Sane.
Arthur Dent.
You have a very interesting house. It's inside out.
It gives me pleasure. Here.
Thank you. We've come to ask you about the dolphins.
Ah, yes. Them.
Your wife mentioned toothpicks.
Yes. That's to do with the day I finally realized that the world had gone totally crazy. So I built the asylum to put it in. Poor thing, hoping it would get better.
I'm horribly confused. Up there, you've got carpet up to the curb of the Pacific Coast Highway. Your exterior walls are hung with bookshelves and pictures, and the sign above the front door says, come outside. So here we are, inside, sitting by a garden path surrounded by rough brick walls.
Here we are, outside the asylum. When you go back through the door there, to where you parked your ride, you go inside the asylum. I never go myself. If I am tempted, I simply look at the sign.
That one?
Hold stick near center of its length. Place pointed end in mouth. Insert in tooth space. Blunt end next to gum. Use gentle in-out motion.
And those are the instructions on...
On a set of toothpicks. It seemed to me that any civilization that had so far lost its head as to need to include a set of instructions in a packet of toothpicks was no longer one in which I could live and stay sane.
But you are...
Oh, I call myself Wonko the Sane, to reassure people. Wonko is what my mother called me when I was a clumsy kid. Knocking things over, insane is what I intend to remain. And the angels with the golden beards and green wings and orthopedic sandals agree with me.
And they visit when?
Weekends, mostly. On little scooters. They are great machines.
I see.
Why not?
Pardon?
Why not scooters? Others might fly. Here they're on scooters. Think about it, Arthur.
Yes, yes, of course. Who's to say? What's impossible?
About the dolphins.
I can show you the sandals.
I'll
get them. The angels say that they suit the terrain they have to work in. They say they run a concession stand by the message. When I say I don't know what that means, they say, no, you don't, and laugh.
The message?
Arthur?
Here. Perfectly ordinary wooden-soled sandals. I also thought you might like to see this.
Where did you get that bowl?
Fenchurch? Have you seen one of these before?
I've got one. Or at least I did have. Russell nicked it to put his golf balls in. Have you got one?
I found it by my bed.
Both of you have one of these bowls? With the inscription?
So long and thanks for all the fish.
Yes. Do you know what it is?
No.
It is a farewell gift from the dolphins. The dolphins whom I loved and studied and swam with and fed with fish. And even tried to learn their language, a task which they made impossibly difficult, considering they were perfectly capable of communicating in ours if they wanted to. What have you done with yours?
I keep a fish in it.
You've done nothing else? No, if you had, you would know. My wife, she kept wheat germ in ours, till last night.
What happened last night?
We ran out of wheat germ. She's gone to the store to get some more. Well, I washed the bowl and dried it, and then I held it to my ear. You ever held one to your ear?
No.
Perhaps you should.
May we?
Closer. Closer. Well, that's good. Now, with your fingernail. Gently.
This film was brought to you by the campaign to save the humans. We bid you farewell.
What message will Arthur and Fenchurch discover next? Will Ford confuse and annoy everybody? And if the rumours are true, is Marvin going to make his farewell appearance? Of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy spells out the answers.
In that episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams,